From verse of scripture found here, Psalm 27 and verse 8. When you said, God has to speak, and He speaks through His Word, speaks through His preachers. And He says, when you said, seek ye my face. God said, seek my face. And God said, seek my face. Look what David said. My heart said unto thee. My heart answered. Not my words. Not what I said. Not how religious I am. Not all the things that I said I was going to do. I resolved to do. I was committed to do. He just said, my heart said. My heart said, out of the depth of my heart, I said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now we're talking about seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the face of God when God tells us to look. And in the margin it says, if you've got a margin like mine, and it says this, my heart said unto thee, let my face seek thy face, O Lord. Now I want to talk about seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God said, seek my face, my heart said, I'm going to seek it. I'm going to seek it. Now there are images, paintings, which are very, very famous that depict our Lord. Got the long hair. Got the angelic face. Some, you know, show him with his crown of thorns on him, a loincloth around him and a little rip in his side. And they're very famous that depict our Lord. But that's all they are. That's all they are. They're just images. They're depictions. They come from someone's imagination. And if we're to get a true description of our Master, of our Blessed Savior, we must get it from God's Word. We've got to get it from the Blessed Book, God's precious Word. It's only the Word that describes the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word describes Him and lets us know what He looks like. See, we're not concerned with a physical description nor an image. I know most folks, whenever they say, well, close your mind, what do you think Jesus looks like? You automatically see one of these pictures pop in your mind. I haven't had that pop in my mind in years, you know, because I understand that there is no middle image that I can have of Christ, because it's all it would be an image. And an image comes from your imagination. And I heard Tim James say one time that this imagination of ours is a God factor. It creates gods out of it. But anyway, we're not concerned with a physical description nor an image. But we're concerned with a living Lord. A living Lord who has a personality, who has a character. Lots and lots and lots of people get down before images and they weep before those images. Weep before them. I was in Mexico one time and San Cristobal up in the mountains, and a big cathedral up there built back in the 1500s, and they had all these images in there. They even had a Jesus in a plastic casket up in front of the altar. And those people would come in, the first thing they would do is they'd bow down and kiss the hem of a plastic statue of Mary there, and then they'd crawl on their knees. Get up in front of those images and just cry. And cry. But there's many who weep before images and bow before images who have never, ever bowed a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, nor wept before the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I tell you, let's look into God's Word. And let's seek, as He said, thy face, O Lord. You told me to seek in thy face, O Lord, I'll seek. Let's look into God's Word and seek the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the face represents the person. The person. You said, seek my face. Oh, Lord, we're going to seek your face. And the first face we want to look at, look with me in Matthew chapter 17. Look with me in Matthew 17. There's many places it talks about the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Matthew 17, the first thing we see here is the face of His deity. Our Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you paint an image of God? How do you depict an image of God? And here is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who assumed human nature and took upon Him flesh. And it says here in Matthew 17 and verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now listen to it. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. His face just lit up like the sun. He got just as bright as the sun. You look in the sun, it blinds you. That's why he says God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. And his face was transformed while those fellows was looking at him, just like the brightness of the sun. And they could not look upon him. They couldn't do it. And so you see, beloved, we see the face of His deity. And I tell you, when we talk about seeing God, how do you react when you see God? How do you act when you see God? Do you jump up and down, you clap your hands, or do you do like everybody else does? Bow down before Him and say, oh God, how glorious and holy. Oh Lord, I want to seek Your face, and I want to see the face of God. And that's what we see. And let me tell you something else. Not only see the face of His deity, but we see the face of His humanity. The face of His humanity. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ has said this about Him in Isaiah 53:2. He hath no form when He took upon Himself flesh, when He became a man. He hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire Him. When you looked on Him, He had no form, physical form. Had no comeliness about Him. David was a comely man. David was a beautiful man. And men told, they said that about David, ready in complexion. And they said there, when you looked at Christ, no comeliness about Him. Daniel had comeliness. He said, my comeliness was turned into corruption. But there was no comeliness about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. So when you saw Him, you didn't see anything special or peculiar. You didn't see no halo over His head, or you didn't see an aura about Him. You're looking at a man that is as common when everybody saw Him said, oh, He just had cabbage. Tell him nothing special about Him. And that's what they said in John chapter 6. Let me show you exactly what they said about Him. And it said over here in John 6:41, it says this, and they said, is not this Jesus? And you know, then verse 41, that the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. I am that bread, the bread that God fed the Israelites with. He said, I'm that true bread. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father we know and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? They saw no beauty about Him. They saw no glory about Him. They saw no beauty about Him. He was comely. And when you looked at the tabernacle in the wilderness, that place where God dwelt, when you stood back and looked at it, and you looked down on that tabernacle, do you know what you'd see? You'd see a bunch of badger skins stretched over a bunch of boards. And you'd see 4 pillars out in front with a little veil in front of them. That, oh, but when you went inside that tabernacle and looked past those badger skin, everybody said, that's just a tent. But when you went inside there and went behind that holiest of holy, that veil back there, your first thing you saw was a golden altar. And on that golden altar was a mercy seat. And that's where the Shekinah glory, when you looked up, you saw this glorious tapestry, pure white with gold and silver and blue and purple. But on the outside, it didn't look like anything. But when you got inside it, oh, the gold, the boards had gold on them. And that beautiful tapestry, blue and gold and silver and all that gold thread in it. And there's that golden tabernacle. There's that golden altar. There's that altar of incense. And that's where God dwelt. Behind that. But oh, the beauty was on the inside, not on the outside. And that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the inside is where the glory's at. There was no comeliness of beauty about Him on the outside. The glory of God was veiled. And how can we know we've seen His deity? Well, look back in Matthew 17 and I'll show you how we can tell. How can you tell if you have seen our Lord Jesus Christ in His deity and His humanity? In Matthew 17, I'll show you how you do it. How can we know we've seen His deity? And oh, I tell you, just like that tabernacle, there was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him because it was veiled in that flesh. But look what it said here. And after He is transfigured, down there in verse 3, after His face shone as the sun, His raiment white as light, behold, there appeared unto Him Moses and Elijah talking with Him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Now that's how you know you've seen Him. When you lose sight of everything else and see Jesus only, that's when you know you've seen Him. That's when you know you've seen Him. When you see, when you looked at Moses and said, Moses and the law won't do. When you look at the prophets and every one of them give witness and pay witness to our Lord Jesus Christ, you fall back and you say, oh, I see nobody but Jesus only. You see, Moses had his place. The law was given by Moses. And Moses wrote of him, our Lord said. Elijah and the prophets have their place. For all the prophets give witness to Him. But there's only one tabernacle. Only one place where God will be worshipped. Only one place where we can worship. And that Jesus only. He didn't say, and Jesus and Moses, or Jesus and the prophets. That don't even sound right. When they lifted up their eyes, Moses and Elijah was gone. The bright cloud was gone. But there was the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And whenever you see everything else is gone but Him, then you know you've really seen Him. Wouldn't you agree with that? And let me tell you something else about His face. His face was a face of purpose. Oh Lord, let me seek Your face. His face was a face of purpose. The Scriptures tells us in Luke 9:51, you don't have to look there, but when the time was come, when He was to be received up, and there's a time and a purpose and a season for everything under the heavens, and when the time was come that He should be received up, going to Jerusalem to be received into the hands of sinful men, you know what He did? He steadfastly set His face to Jerusalem. Steadfastly said it. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 50. He steadfastly set His face to go. Our Lord had a work to do. He had a time for that work to be done. He had a time that He had to go to the cross. He has a time when He must be received up. Received into the hands of sinful men, received into His Father, and the time was come. And look what it said here in Isaiah 50 and verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. That means He put a hole in His ear. I'll be His servant. Neither turned away back. And look what it says here. Because I was obedient to Him, I gave my back to the spiders. Time for Him to be received up. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Therefore will the Lord God help me. Therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I've set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed.
Huh? Oh, he set his face. Set his face to that cross. Set his face to the will of God. Set his face to the wrath of God. Set his face to the work that he had to do and set it like a flint. Nothing's going to stop it. Can you possibly associate that face, that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, with failure? Can you associate that face with failure when he steadfastly set his face? To say that he tried to do something and couldn't do it? To say that he died for men that will not be saved? To say that he shed his blood for men whose sins will be put away by that blood? To say that he failed in his purpose? To say that there will be one soul in hell for whom Christ set his face to go up? Can you associate that face with failure? Isaiah 42 says he shall not fail. He won't even be discouraged. Oh, he says, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've finished the work. I've kept everyone that you give me. I've lost none of them. All that you give me, I didn't lose a one of them. You reckon that, beloved, that if we was given to Christ and Christ died for us, set his face for us, you reckon that we could ever be lost? When salvation's by the will of God? When Christ said, did he fail to put sin away? Did he fail to satisfy the justice of God? When he tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God by himself? Did he fail as our substitute when he bore our sins in his own body and put them away by the sacrifice of himself? Did he fail as the Lamb of God who would bear our sins in his own body on the tree? When they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm here. And if you take me, let these go. If you get me, you can't have them. And if you get me, every one of these get to go free. And God got him, and I get to go free. Huh? Oh my. Can you associate that faith with faith? Steadfastly set his face to go. He can't fail. He ain't going to fail. And if anybody thinks for a moment that the death of Christ was an effort for God to save somebody, that he just made it possible for somebody to be saved, when the Scriptures tells us that he shall accomplish his purpose, that he shall not fail, he shall not be discouraged, that he did put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And whoever sin was put away, well then those sins, whoever he poured on their body, on the tree, they're gone. God said, I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them behind my back. I'll blow them out as a thick cloud. Now, if Christ bore my sin, listen to what I'm telling you. If Christ bore my sin, and he steadfast his face, and he put my sin away, if he satisfied God for me, done the work that I should have done, or done the obedience that I should have obeyed, that fulfilled the law that I should have kept, and could, and that wrath of God come to claim me, and the justice of God demanded my death, if Christ in my place took my sin and endured my wrath and God's justice was poured out on him, then God cannot possibly come and get me again when Christ has done it. There wouldn't be any justice in that, would there?
It almost makes you want to holler, don't it? All right, let me show you another one over here in Luke 22. Luke 22.
Oh, his face of purpose. He has a face of purpose. When the time was come, there's a time to come. But look with me in Luke 22. Oh, may God look at you like this today. Luke 22 in verse 60. This I call this his face of repentance. Our Lord's face of repentance. When you see his face, it brings repentance. It brings sorrow and grief. Y'all remember when our Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, he says, you know, before the rooster crows in the morning, you go, you'll deny me three times. All right, look in verse 60. This is the third time that Peter denied him. And Peter says, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And look what it says in verse 61. It's fixed to take him over to Pilate now. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Imagine if you can right now, the Lord turning and looking at you. You've denied him. You won't own him. You won't say he's your Lord. You won't say he's your Savior. You won't bow to him. You won't acknowledge him. And the Lord's looking at you. Them blessed eyes are looking at you. John Newton said, he looked with them languid eyes on me and did charge me with his sin. And you're looking, Christ is looking right at you now. And those eyes, there's no anger in them. There's no wrath in them. Just love, mercy, compassion, tenderness, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, thou shalt deny me thrice. And after Peter looked on him, look what happened. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I tell you, if you ever see the face of Christ looking at you like that, and you charge you with your sin, you know what you'll do? You'll go out and weep bitterly too. Your heart will be smitten. You'll look and he looks at you and you'll go out and say, oh Lord, oh I've denied you. Oh, I've denied you. Haven't stood for you. I didn't believe you. I didn't bow to you. I didn't own you. I didn't acknowledge you. You told me what I was. You told me what I'd do. You told me everything that I've ever been, everything I've ever thought, everything I've ever said. And now you're looking at me. And you see me for what I am. For who I am. And you'll go out and weep bitterly too. You really will. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, seek ye my face. And we say, Lord, we'll seek it. God's people, and I know this from experience, and I know you do too, God's people can get awful cold, can get awful hard, can get awful indifferent. Sometimes we can even warm at our Lord's enemy's fires. But when he turns those blessed eyes on you, then your heart will break and it'll soften. And you'll say, oh Lord, I seek your face. Have mercy on me. When Saul of Tarsus saw it, you know what he did? He fell down. When Thomas looked upon him, after he denied him, said, I will not believe. When he looked on him, he cried out, my Lord and my God. And oh my, let me show you another face in Isaiah 53. I hope I haven't taken, no, we got to. Look in Isaiah 53 with me. This is our gospel right here. His face of suffering. Face of suffering. You remember I read there in Isaiah 50 where he said he gave his face, his back to the smiters. He turned his back to them. He never,
You know this idea that they drugged Christ and he was a victim?
No, no. He says he turned his back to the smiters.
Turned them to him. Go ahead, smite.
Smite the shepherd. Go ahead, smite.
And they beat him 39 stripes till his back was bloody and broken and bones were showing. And he said, and then I gave my face to them who plucked off the beard. And those who spit. He said, I gave my face to that. And then look what it says in verse 14 of Isaiah 52. Talking about his face of suffering. And as many, Isaiah 52, 14, and as many were astonished at me, his visage was so marred more than any man. Oh, they'd plucked off that beard. They'd slapped him. And his form more than the sons of men. Oh, his face looked awful. Looked horrible the way they beat it. But look down here in verse 3 of chapter 53. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And oh, what did we do with our faces? What did our purses do? We hid them. Hid them, turned them away. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But this is what was really going on while we were hiding our faces. While he was despised and rejected. We didn't esteem him. Here's what was really taking place. Surely he had borne our griefs. That's why he has a man of grief. Bore our griefs. Carried our sorrows. And we said God stroke him. God smote him. God afflicted him. But here's what really happened. When God was doing that, he was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and all those stripes they beat him with was our healing from our sin and rebellion. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every way to his own way. What happened when we done that? When we went our way, the Lord took Christ when he took him and he laid on him, put them all on him, the iniquity of us all. And oh, beloved, and it says he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, he didn't open his mouth, didn't defend himself, never asked for pity, never asked for mercy. Never said, oh, you're doing me wrong. He never said, spare me just once. He never said a word. Answer, tell me. Taken from prison and from judgment. Who's going to stand up and declare his generation? Who's going to stand up and say, that's my son, this is my people, this is the man that I love? He is cut off out of the land of the living. And here again is the reason, for he was the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. And there was any deceit in his mouth. And listen, here's the capstone. Yet it pleased the Lord. God did this to bruise him. God put him to grief. When you, God, made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Who's his seed? Every elect person for whom Christ died. And he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the great travail, the agony of our Lord's soul. And God said, I shall be satisfied. And then by Christ making himself known to us, shall my righteous servant justify many. Why? Because he bears their iniquities. Oh my. See, he suffered. And he suffered so much, but his suffering wasn't for himself. It was for us, for his people. for my transgression was his, for our iniquities. And in his tread, when they took him down from the cross, and they got his body ready for burying, you know what they done? They put a cloth across his face to hide how beaten and bloody and mangled his face was. Beards had been plucked out. And see what he had endured. His face at that time was a monument to the justice of God itself. There was no mercy. There was no pity. Only justice. Only wrath. And no wonder he said, "Is it nothing to you that passed by? Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce wrath?" And I can't help but wonder, what will his resurrected face look like? It looked awful on that cross. It looked awful after they got through beating him. They looked awful after they plucked the hairs off of his face. After they slapped him and slapped him. But what will his resurrected face look like? I don't know, but one of these days I'm going to find out. And then, oh, let's look at his glorious face. Oh. And I know I'm having you look at too many scriptures, but look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at his glorious face here. His glorious face. You know, our Lord has a glorious face after his resurrection, after his people seen him. They know who he was. But I ain't seen his like I'm going to see him. But it says here in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." We're at in the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to see God's glory, it's in Christ. "Well, you mean that same man that was beaten so bloody?" Yes. That's where God's glory is at. Moses said, "Show me your glory." You know what he said? "I've caused my goodness to pass before you." And God's goodness passed before us on this earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'll now declare my name before you." And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to declare the name of God. He said, Philip said, "Show us the Father and it'll satisfy." He said, "Philip, if I've been with you such a long time and you've not seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And God said, "No man can see my face and live." He said, "But there's a place by me, real close to me. And I'll put you in that cleft. I'll put you in that rock. And I'll cover you with my hand." And beloved, now we're in that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's glory, we see it in Christ. We see it go by us in Christ. And oh my. In our blessed Savior's face, we see the attributes of God, the goodness of God, the name of God. He said, "I'll have mercy upon all mercy." We see the sovereign mercy of God in Christ. And in His face, we get God's knowledge of His glory in Christ. And let me show you another one real quick. Now, this is one I hope you never see in Revelation 6. I hope you never see this face. God help you to never see this face. Oh, don't see this face. May God keep you from ever seeing this face. Revelation 6. Look what it says down here in verse 15. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every bondman, and every free man, hemmed themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Oh, I pray that nobody in this building will never see that face. Don't I hope you never have to pray
Old rock, hide me. Not in a cave, say, oh, hide me. I see the face of that lamb. I see it ain't nothing but anger on it now. I see wrath in that face now. He's angry now. You didn't believe me. You didn't trust me. You didn't believe that I bore your wrath on that cross. Now you'll have to bear my wrath yourself throughout eternity. Oh, God help you never see that face. Oh, never see that face. I pray that God will open your hearts that you'll see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ the way I've depicted it up to this point, and you'll never ever see the face of the wrath of the Lamb. And let me show you another real quick in Matthew 26. Oh, you need to see this. Matthew 26. The face of rejection. The face of rejection. Matthew 26. Verse 67. The face of rejection. Oh, my. Oh, God help you never see the wrath of the Lamb. The face of His wrath. Look what it says here in verse 67. They ask Him, what do you answer? They say, He's guilty of death. And then look what they say here in verse Matthew 26, 67. Then did they spit in His face. That's one of the most disrespectful things that a person can do to another person, spit in their face. Clear their throat and spit in your face. You're talking about showing contempt. Despise, rejection, hatred, animosity, every evil thing. Walk up to this blessed holy man and spit in his face. And then not only that, but they buffeted him and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Oh, beloved, don't despise the day of the Lord. Don't treat the Lord's face this way. Don't turn your face away. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't reject the face of Christ. Don't spit in it. Don't slap it. Don't do that. People say, we don't. The very fact that you live your life without Him, that you don't care for Him, you're treating Him just exactly like He don't exist. He has no power, no glory, no authority that you want Him or that you need Him. That's the way you treat Him. And then I'll read this one to you and then I'll wind it up. And then there's the face of salvation. I'll read this to you. It says this, Psalm 8 and verse 3, turn us again, O God. Turn us again. Cause Thy face to shine. And we should be saved. Turn Your face, O Lord. Turn us. Turn us. Cause Thy face to shine. Look at us with, oh, let us smile at us. Let us shine towards us. Look at us with favor. Look with grace. And it says, and we shall be saved. And you got to see this. And then I really am done. It's my last point. 2 Corinthians 13:12. No, 1 Corinthians 13:12. I'm sorry. I know that I was in the wrong place. That ain't the first time. Won't be the last, I don't expect. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Look what it says here. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Face to face. I was on the way to the service this morning. And I got to thinking about Brother Floyd. And I thought, beautiful morning. And I started singing. I thought, remember where he said, you know, I'll see you in the morning. I started singing that song.
I'll see you in, oh, no. I'll meet you in the morning by the bright river side.
And I thought, boy, of course I sung it better than that, you know.
much better than that when I'm by myself. But I said, oh, joy.
Oh, we'll do that again.
I'll meet you in the morning. And I got thinking about that, boy. We'll all meet. And we'll meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll see Him face to face. See one another face to face. And that other old song says, on that great getting up morning. That great getting up morning. All of us get up in the morning and go be with the Lord. It's all a brand new day. And then we'll see Him face to face. And then look what it says. I only know things in part right now. But then you know what I'll know? I'll know then, just like I know now. I'll know then what God knows about me now. I'll see face to face. Huh? Oh my. And what a trip David says. David said this, when I wake in thy likeness, that's when I'll be satisfied. Huh? And all, beloved, it says here that when they see the face of the Lamb, in Revelation 22:3, it says they'll see the face of the Lamb and His name will be written on their forehead. See Him face to face. Oh my, what a day. What a day that'll be. But have you seen the face of Christ? Has God blessed you to see the face of Christ?